The people love a cliffhanger.
Few things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to a weeknight edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It's the father and son Packer podcast, and I'm the old man, and he's the young guy. Better looking, smarter. Don't really like him very much because of that. But I'm grumpy. We lost.
Yeah. Packers 17, Patriots 31. Looked good starting the game. Looked like, you know, going to be a great game, close game. First half was close, and then just kind of faded away late. It's kind of how I saw it.
I felt like we were kind of flat on offense. I felt like we, it took us until the second quarter to get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't feel, and that felt like that continued throughout the game, that we just couldn't really get our rhythm going, something that we've been talking about, it seems like, all season.
Yeah, and our defense played really well this game again. Mm-hmm. So that's 2 weeks in a row now, you know, playing against the Rams at Rams and now in Foxborough against the Patriots, to have two defensive performances where they went out and, you know, did what they were supposed to do against some of the top offenses.
Right.
That's, you know, that's good to see. But it's frustrating to see the defense step up against teams like this and then to have an offense that's led by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Go and just, you know, not look lackluster, I guess is how I would say it.
Yeah, flat, lackluster. I think that they pretty much put your finger on it. But and you really can't really look at the box score and see that the Patriots had 31 points and say, well, the defense given up over 30 points in two games. But there's a lot of stuff that happened there, including a fumble that was pretty much the nail in the coffin, and not so much at the end of the game like last week, but this really just changed the tide. You could feel like things were starting to come a little bit in the fourth quarter for the Packers, and then that's when that fumble happened.
Yeah, another costly fumble, and it's frustrating when, you know, for years now we've talked about McCarthy's unwillingness to innovate and try new things, but he always harped on the fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, before anything else, we're going to be a team of perfect fundamentals. Well, that's not here this year.
No,
the execution hasn't been here. Part of it, you know, I'm sure, is trying to implement a new offensive scheme that can take longer than it does on defense, because, you know, defense is a lot more straightforward. That's why when you have the first couple weeks, you see defenses generally, you know, look better than they will later on, because mm-hmm. it's easier for them to get in the rhythm of things. But even when your offense is off and things aren't looking good, you need a coach who can find a way to move the ball.
Absolutely.
Especially when you have Aaron Rodgers under center.
That's absolutely. And you speak of fundamentals. I mean, so we had one player that slaps another player and gets ejected from the game. Speaking of Whitehead, he actually got cut today.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep. And then another player where we stop Patriots on a really nice defensive stop, and we run into the punter. Come on.
Hey, so, it had been a long time since we saw a four down goal line stand, though.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, and they were right down there,
yeah,
too.
We didn't do anything with it. I think we were backed up for our punt, weren't we,
mm-hmm.
after we got the ball back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The frustrating thing is, you need the noun in there. We did this last week. We were on the goal line, ran it up the gut, the weaker part of our line, and we got a safety.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, we're at the goal line, and we both said he's going to run it up the gut. And what does he have the balls to go out there and do? He runs it up the gut. I don't know. It's just a lot of frustrating parts about this game. A lot of crazy calls that kind of went against us, but that's been kind of all year. With started with the Matthews calls, and then there's just been weird things that haven't fallen the Packers' way. I thought the ejection was crazy.
That's just the rule. If you hit somebody like that in the helmet.
Well, we punched a guy in the head later in the game. We didn't get ejected.
I'm surprised. Really surprised. But, I mean, that's just cut and dry. That's
yeah,
as silly as it looks, open hand to the helmet. You know, a little guy against a huge offensive lineman, and it's just it's the rule.
They say why he was cut, Whitehead?
All I saw was I saw a rumor. I was going through Reddit, and somebody said about him getting cut, and so I verified it. Pro Football Talk, and that's all I saw. So I would think, I mean, it's not like he was a huge player for us or anything like that. But one thing I wanted to, you know, like you have written down there, like a little bit snake bitten.
Yeah.
And I think that happens too. I think that Matthews kind of went through with that. The coaches kept saying, just keep playing like you're playing. Just don't stop. But one thing I wanted to say before we get into the minutiae I saw on CNN today, I thought this was interesting. You remember Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah.
From the Oakland Raiders. Horrible pick for him. He was a horrible quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They started wondering, how much is he really studying? How much time is he spending? So they would send blank tapes home with him. And then when he'd come back the next day, he'd go, yep, I checked out all the blitzes. I studied the blitzes. It's like, busted, buddy.
Instead, all he did was go into the next game and hope he didn't get killed.
Yeah, and throw five interceptions.
That's funny. And one thing I was going to say, too, is with the Whitehead, him getting released, I think part of it is that we looked pretty good at safety after losing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Bryce in there who got injured and went out of the game. And so we're left with Tremont Williams, who recently moved over to safety just like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Jones, I believe, is his name. I'm kind of blanking on it. Let me check here. Josh Jones. So he's rookie guy who we drafted, just crazy athletic, fast guy, and a lot of eyes were on him, and a lot of people wanted to see him on the Packers. He's here now. Well, when he and Tremont were on the field, they looked pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think part of it is, you know, Whitehead made a stupid decision in the game, and then his backups look good.
Yeah,
and that's the nature of the NFL.
We'll never know for sure, but you wonder sometimes if it was a case where they went to talk to him about it afterwards, and his attitude was such that they're like, no, you're never going to learn, so you're not that good a player.
Yeah.
But all right, let's talk about play calling.
We talked last week with the Mike McCarthy, Bill Belichick matchup that a lot of the times recently it seems like McCarthy's playing checkers while everyone else plays chess.
Yeah.
I changed my mind on that.
Oh, you did.
I think McCarthy is out there playing checkers with chess pieces against people who are playing chess. So, you know,
I like
he's
that.
He's taking these guys. He has Aaron Rodgers, who is, you know, the most powerful piece on the board. He's got wide receivers. He's got Aaron Jones, who's shown that he is one of the top talented running backs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know how to use them. You know, you see all these creative things that from Belichick where our defense was stopping them. They weren't able to move the ball. They had to use trick plays and gadget plays and weird, you know, what would you call that screen where it was a, you know, like wide receiver screen, flea flicker back to the other wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what you would call that, but it worked. You know, it got them down to almost the goal line. And you see things like that and you think, why don't we have anything in the Bay, like, you know, in the back pocket for when we can't move the ball?
I agree. And it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I've given up hope anymore of seeing anything different from McCarthy.
You've never seen it from him. The most creative thing we saw was him using four tight ends on the goal line.
Didn't work.
And then he threw it.
Yeah, right.
You have four tight ends to block with your line. And you throw the ball. And not only do you throw it, you roll out to get rid of the advantage of the most protection on the line. You roll out to buy time, which means, oh, my God.
I watched that play again today. It was crazy. Hey, speaking of today, we're recording. on Tuesday, Election Day, in the evening. So we've got a little bit of extra news, but, you know, it's Tuesday. They don't really get you much until Thursday or so.
Mm-hmm. Only thing I really have, I mean, I feel like we've talked about the same things every mm-hmm. week with McCarthy. The only other thing I have is it's frustrating watching games where you see guys, I mean, you have the Brady and Breezes who get guys schemed open for them, and they're not fitting the ball in these tight windows. They have guys open.
Right.
But the problem is you also see this with Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, guys like that, Andy Dalton, where they're not, either they're not the most talented or they're young and mm-hmm. they're still learning. And so their coach finds ways to get guys open, finds ways to help them move the ball.
Right.
And McCarthy just goes in there and says, you know, fit this in this small window. We're going to make our receivers beat their defenders. And
yeah, man.
I don't know,
man,
he just looks at it like a football team against another football team, not football players against each other, and mm-hmm. looking at what he can do best with what he has.
You know, and since we keep talking about the McCarthy thing and what's happening, it's easy to pile on when you can't win. And the question is, who do you get? I mean, and I'd be surprised. Part of me that makes me think that they won't get rid of him if we don't make the playoffs or if we're one and done is we just brought back the offensive coordinator, got a new defensive coordinator. The only thing that I see is with our new GM saying, we got to move. We got to move. And he convinces Murphy and they do it. But I kind of go back and forth on, do I want to see a wholesale change? Are we going to keep any of our coordinators? So,
I think it goes back to running the table. I think when we ran the table to make the playoffs, we saved McCarthy's job. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be out. We'd have new defensive coordinator, new head coach, new offensive scheme. It would be all fresh. And instead, I don't know, it's like we're trying to, you know, put like the newest Windows update on a 1995 computer. Like, you can do it, but it's not going to work.
Well, I agree with you, though. It just seems like every play's got to be a great. We do get some wide open plays, but it's just more often than not, they're just those tight windows that they have to play with.
Mm-hmm. It's just frustrating, and I think, yeah, we'll see.
Hmm. What do you think about the defensive play calling?
Patton, I think, called a good game. I liked the ways. In the second half, he found of getting pressure when we weren't in the first half. I think he was able to use the linebackers a lot more for pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the first half, we had, you know, multiple linebackers on the field a lot of the time and then weren't really using them.
Yeah.
And we're kind of just getting smoked by Brady.
Yep.
But then once we really schemed the pressure and played press. Because we know we have a secondary who can play press now, mm-hmm. and I think that's a big deal.
That first touchdown, I think it was the opening drive, right, for the Patriots. That they looked crisp. I mean that was a good.
That was the fastest I've ever seen a team do no huddle though. Like the whole time it was happening, you know, they what was it 12 plays in 4 minutes? Or
yeah,
whatever it was.
Something crazy like
yeah.
that. Yeah,
the whole time it was happening, you know, they would catch the ball and be at the line again. I was like. You know what? You can't blame our defense for this.
No.
They can't see this coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just trying to get used to what's going on.
Right.
They were on their heels, but after that, they looked pretty good.
And I think also to give him credit, Patton was dealing with a lot of injuries, but was still able to get the job done. So,
yeah. Let's move on to offense.
Sure.
So, I mean, we already mentioned it's frustrating to put up 17 points against a team like the Patriots, who we've seen their defense this year have a couple barn burners where they're giving up, you know, chunk plays left and right. They're mm-hmm. giving up points. And for us to be able to go out there and only put up 17 was frustrating. And it's what happens when you have a timing offense that doesn't have their timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look flat. Yeah. They just look flat.
Yeah. Mike McCarthy has a plan A, and instead of going to plan B or C when it doesn't work, he just tries plan A harder. So that's how I feel about that.
Oh, man. Well, we didn't get a TD until 4:49 of the second quarter, which I think is going exactly with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then to close out the half, we had about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And two timeouts, and didn't do anything. Absolutely nothing. Went out and downs. It's just stuff like that that just makes you look like a mediocre team or worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, 2014, we move down the field, we get a touchdown. We go to halftime, get the ball back, we get another touchdown.
Right, right.
We haven't seen that this year. We haven't seen that the last part of last year, maybe all of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think McCarthy is a good coach. I think either the league has passed him by and it's evolving too fast for what he's trying to do, or it's gotten stale. You know,
it happens.
If you have one guy harping the same message every day,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, that's what happened with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He leaves Philadelphia, goes to Kansas City, and it's like everything old is new again. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you can only harp on fundamentals so much,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're not executing fundamentals.
Watch your pad height. Keep your pads low.
Rodgers, 24 of 43, 259 yards, and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still don't think he's looking as sharp as he has in the past. I mean, he's throwing behind guys. And
he was underthrowing guys this game, which yep. we haven't seen a lot. And I think even Collinsworth during the game mentioned maybe Rodgers is hurt somewhere because he was underthrowing guys. And, you know, he came into this game, first game since week one. We haven't seen the brace.
Right.
And he looked good on his legs, most part of his movement. Maybe not quite as crisp or as fast right. as he has been, but, you know, then throwing the ball, he just seemed off all game.
Exactly. And there were times where he had a lot of time, and it's still – he just wasn't able to put it in there. He did you remember he took that delay of game
mm-hmm.
in saving a timeout? First and goal, ended up had to kick a field goal because we were in the red zone. You know, we don't do so good in the red zone. So we mm-hmm. did. It was amazing that we were unable, again, we just struggled to get the ball in the end zone when we're in the red zone.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but also there's a lot of season left.
Yep, that's what I heard.
That's what you've heard. Receivers, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the rookie, had another good game. He continues to look better and better. He had three catches, 101 yards. Second game for him now of the year of his career where he's had over 100 yards.
Very good job. Very nice. Jimmy Graham seemed like he was getting open a little bit more. Seems like he's maybe getting a little more comfortable with the offense, but he's one that he's not going to typically get wide open either. So
yeah, he's not, especially now, he's still in his prime as far as where you see a lot of tight ends,
mm-hmm.
but he's not going to outrun a lot of these guys, especially when you have a corner or a safety on him. He's not going to be the fastest one.
Right.
He had four catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown, and Adams had six catches for 40 yards and a touchdown. They did pretty good all game at really focusing on Adams, shutting him down, double-teaming him. I think pretty much from the moment the announcer, not that there's an announcer curse, but from the moment the announcer said they have done really well at getting the ball to Adams, despite, you know, being double-covered.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of quiet the rest of the game.
He pretty much was. Yeah, it's amazing how that happened.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a ton really to talk about with the receivers this game. I think it's weird we haven't seen. I don't know if he's kind of the forgotten man, but Mercedes Lewis.
Oh.
We got him at tight end.
Yeah.
We were kind of looking forward to him a lot.
Yeah.
For this year, and he. Haven't seen him, have you?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's true. I've forgotten all about
yeah.
him.
Yeah. We have Lance Kendricks, who's been playing, who I would much rather have Mercedes Lewis in there.
I think Kendricks is better, like a fullback. He's the blocker. Kind of. You're shaking
well,
your head.
I disagree. I think Mercedes Lewis is a much better blocker.
You think so?
That's what he's known for. That's his bread and butter. And I think Jimmy Graham is a much better route runner and ball catcher.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
What's Kendricks doing?
Well, go ahead.
I think if you were bringing up Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Andy Reid had Jimmy Graham and Mercedes Lewis on his team, they'd be in there 50, 60% of the plays. They'd have two tight end sets going out there all the time. And I think we had one tight end on the field 95% of the game.
Yeah.
We just don't use the weapons we have.
I would agree. I would agree. And that's what you've been talking about for a couple of years now. Geronimo Allison was put on IR today. Said he has a core muscle surgery that needs to be taken care of. So
that doesn't sound good.
No, does not sound, which is too bad.
So out for the year with Allison, that's a bummer because he was looking good.
Yes.
Continuing to look better and better, becoming a bigger part of the offense. Silver lining, more reps for the rookies, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling has looked good, continues to grow. Equanimeous St. Brown, I don't know if he got any catches this game, but he's looked good. And then one guy we haven't even seen out there who was a pretty big name for us in the offseason and preseason just because of his athleticism and his size is Jerron Moore, our rookie receiver. We haven't really seen him at all since the regular season started, so maybe now we'll get to see him out there. Yeah, why not, right?
Well, this is another point of contention, so let's just get it over with. Let's talk about the running game.
Aaron Jones, 14 carries, 76 yards. Looked good when he had the ball.
Yeah, good, hard runner.
Besides, you know, when he dropped the ball.
That wasn't good.
No, that's not what you want.
Bad runner.
Yeah, so he had that fumble.
And it was a weird thing. I've watched it several times. You know, I wanted to skip through the game today to get to that part. It's like they talked about on the game that the defender punched the ball out. I watched it. It was like maybe a slap, but he had both hands on the ball, but he obviously didn't have it as secure as he was supposed to. So, I don't know. Very frustrating.
14 carries, 76 yards, like we said. He still split carries with Jamal Williams, which I think I've seen online a lot of frustration from fans. Like, okay, we got rid of Montgomery so Aaron Jones can get the ball. Mm-hmm. Why are we splitting carries? But I was fine with it because, you know, he was still effective. I think Aaron Jones averaged 5.6 yards a carry where Jamal Williams was 4.9.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Still effective, and he's still the bruiser.
He is.
He'll run through the line where Aaron Jones will wait and find the holes. So I was completely fine with that. It's just frustrating, you know, I don't know if it's the way the game goes or what. It was frustrating to not see Jones get the ball more when we've kind of been hoping for that all season. And I know 14 carries is more than we've really seen, but you had Belichick on the other side giving
Cordell Patterson
the ball, who's a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not a good enough wide receiver to have a starting position on this team yet.
Right.
So Belichick throws him in at running back and is able to scheme up, 70 yards with the guy? Like, it just shows how in the modern NFL, the advantage is on the offense. Everything the offense does, the rules are there to give them the advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do pretty much anything you want on offense. So why don't we?
Excuse me.
Want to give Cobb the ball in the backfield.
You just made me think of the way you've been talking about McCarthy and all your examples and everything. Tom Coughlin. The game passed him by.
It did. That's a good example. Is he with a team right now?
I think he's is he GM or
is he with the Browns? Is he a GM with the Browns?
No. That's the GM is the former Packer.
Oh yeah.
I thought he was like with Carolina or something like that.
He is the executive vice president of football operations for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. There you go.
You ever notice how, you know, the car, Jaguar, how they never say it the same in commercial?
Jaguar.
The all new, sleek 2019 Jaguar. It's always different. Every commercial.
You trying out for some voiceover work, are you?
Working on my type 5 for the comedy club.
So, just another example of the other coach knowing his players more or being willing to move them around and try different things. So, we keep harping on the same thing here. But, you know, you put up your thoughts on putting Cobb in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'd say no. I don't think we need to. I mean, if you want to do it for like a play or two a game to break things up, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm not saying do it all the time. I'm saying do it to get other guys open. Mm. You know, you see other coaches do it all the time where if Cobb's having a hard time getting open as the number three receiver, put him in the backfield. Just add options to what he can do, and they have to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. That's just something I would like to see. I don't know if it's a huge deal, but I think it could make a difference.
Well, as we said earlier, the defense really shined in this mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, they looked good again. I think we just have depth on defense now, which we haven't. It hasn't felt like we've had in a long time. But maybe part of that is just the scheme. That we had a lot of injuries this game.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of defensive injuries, where at one point it kind of felt like we lost half our defense.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept going down, and they still looked good. They were still, you know, holding the Patriots, mm-hmm. which is not an easy feat when you have all your starters on the field. And I think part of it is depth. Also part of it, I think, is scheme and Pettine understanding how he needs to adjust when you lose those key pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what we just never saw from Capers.
Yeah.
Because you remember, we would lose one guy in a game on defense with Capers, and it's like we lost our whole defense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It just, the house of cards would fall apart every time. And so it was kind of just nice to be able to watch them lose a couple guys and still go in there and play defense.
Yeah. And to hold them on that goal line stand when they went for it on fourth down against New England. I mean, that was what I was hoping at the time. Okay, now let's go. This is, thank you, defense. You're really giving us a lot of momentum here. So I on that fourth down, I wrote out, because I just watched it again today. Breland was
defending. In the
defending.
Third quarter.
It was a
just for context for everyone.
And he never ever turned around.
Yeah.
Defended it with his helmet.
Oh, that's the one where he was looking around to see what happened after, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to find the ball after the play was done.
Yeah.
Boink! Yeah, that was nice. Held the Patriots and then gave the ball back to him by hitting the punter.
Yep.
And I don't know. It was weird because when Whitehead slapped the guy and got ejected, the announcers were talking about how that's not something you should get ejected for. And then we run into the punter kind of just full on, body against body, ran into the punter. And they were saying it shouldn't have been running into the punter.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they were really saying is they gave him 15 yards in a first down.
Mm-hmm.
To do that, you have to, like, it has to be pretty obvious you're going for the lead leg of the punter, that you are trying to do it. Instead, it should have been a 5-yard penalty,
right,
and it's still fourth down for them.
Right.
So it really just, that's huge.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And it's those weird things like that and those weird calls that we've been talking about.
That whole sequence, you know, holding them at the goal line, punting out because we couldn't do anything. And then on one of the plays before we ran into their punter, Martinez injured his ankle. He's chasing Brady. And he steps on his foot, Brady's foot, and then rolls his ankle,
mm-hmm.
And then they cart him off the field. He actually came back later in the game. So hopefully he'll be able to keep playing now.
Yeah, hopefully. It didn't look like really any of the defensive injuries were all that serious this game. Hopefully. You know, we don't know much. It's Tuesday evening. Yeah, kind of just to go back to where we started talking about it on defense, they looked good. Mm-hmm. They looked good when you consider who they were playing against, and they looked good considering the injuries they had, which was nice. And I mean, Brady didn't burn the house down. He was 22 of 35, 294 yards and a touchdown, almost 300 yards, but he still struggled to move the ball at a lot of points. And
well, there was a point there where the defense really had him confused.
Yeah, that's not something you see much. Like,
right.
Pettine was confusing
mm-hmm.
Tom Brady and Belichick, and that I think that's part of what gives me hope for the rest of the season.
I think that comes from experience, too, for Patton, from being in the AFC and playing them quite often and losing. But still, you learn to gameplay them better.
Yeah, you definitely do. It was nice to see Breshad Breeland get on the field. Since we picked him up, I think this is his first game where he suited up for the game. He had that stop in the end zone you mentioned where he couldn't track the ball. He had a really nice tackle on the goal line, on that goal line stand. Other than that, he didn't play great. I think there was a lot of kind of plays where he was, you know, head on a pivot trying to see what's going on. Yeah. But, you know, it's your first game in the scheme. It's probably going to happen. Tremont Williams, I thought, looked pretty good at safety.
Yeah, I think he had five tackles.
Yep, five tackles, two assisted. He looked good. He had that tackle he missed against Josh Gordon for the touchdown,
ouch,
but that was a creative play to get it to him. Josh Gordon is a hard guy to tackle in open space on the field. He's known for being one of the hardest to tackle. I don't know how much of that is on Tremont. It was nice to see, even with injuries, our corners go in there, be able to be a secondary. We haven't always had a secondary.
Well, yeah, I mean, just flashing back to other years we've done the podcast.
How about last year?
It's like you see them back there. It's like we always have to be blitzing because we can't let the quarterback stand back there and pick us apart.
Yeah. Out of three receivers, two of them will have at least a 5-yard gap between them and the defender. So, you know, maybe we're being overly optimistic on how the secondary performed when there was a few big mistakes. But it's also just nice to have a secondary, and I think that's a big part of what it is. And they played a lot better than the offense, so how much can you harp on them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, let's get into the injuries. This is, of course, no fun. Kevin King has got a hamstring.
Kentrell Bryce, knee.
And mentioned Blake Martinez, ankle. I just saw a real quick blurb. I was trying to find something, and said he's hoping to be able to play. He said he's had something similar, and he was able to play through it.
Okay.
And we also mentioned that Geronimo Allison is going into surgery for a core muscle injury, and he's going on the IR. So.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But
yeah, it is.
It's part of the game. Up until this game, though, I'd say we've been pretty can't think of a good word for it, because you can't say like we've been blessed when it comes to injuries or
it hasn't
like
been
that.
Like some years.
It just hasn't been horrible.
Yeah, like Washington this year.
Yeah.
Washington's really, really a bad place.
It feels like the last three or four seasons we have just watched, you know, piece after piece fall.
Right. Last year with Aaron.
Yeah, trying to put it all together, and then game one you see Rodgers go down, and it just felt like it'd be more of the same. But it's been pretty good so far this season, so this is really the first game where I felt like we kind of came out of it beat up.
Okay. Well, Crosby had one field goal where we couldn't score in the red zone. That was for 29 yards. And Scott actually did pretty good. He five punts for 42-yard average. Still don't see him having the technique where he can really pin it in to get him with, you know, under 20 yards or closer to the end zone. But I also, did you hear that they signed that other punter? And they said it's because his wife is going to be expecting a baby anytime.
Yeah,
so they weren't sure if he was going to be there.
My sister, your daughter, Jenny, she brought that up about the punter. And I told her it's because he has kid, could be born anytime. And if that's happening, it's kind of, I think, it's a classy move on the Packers' part to have a plan B and to understand that a kid getting born comes first.
But
this
they,
is a
they
game.
Also had a plane ready for him.
Oh, I didn't hear that. But
yeah, so they really did.
For the baby?
Yes, this is a very important baby.
Well, you can save on gas because you can use a tiny plane. Yeah, you want to move on here?
Yeah, let's do it.
I feel like kind of what it comes down to is same as last week. It feels similar, doesn't it? Offense underperformed, defense played great, but you still need an offense to win the game.
I felt our offense played better last week. I felt more optimistic on a loss last week than I am this week.
You seemed more optimistic last week.
I feel, I think you pretty much were thinking, hey, if we can, you know, like, possibly win one.
Two tough games coming out of the bye, at the Coliseum against the Rams and at Foxborough against the Patriots. Not expected to win either, but if we could have stolen a win from one of them, it would have been big.
And I felt like if you are a good team, you will win one of those games. You will get mm-hmm. one of those games. And we came close in the Rams situation, and then
yeah,
we weren't as close in the end on this one. But
they just talk about, like, you know, the difference between good teams and great teams is that they find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like this year we find a way to lose.
Yep.
Like, it feels reminiscent of watching other NFC North teams in the last decade, where you had the Vikings were like that for quite a while. They've been better in recent memory here, but they would find weird ways to lose games that it looked like they either should be right in it up until the end, or they should have won, and they'd find a way to lose.
Well, it's like the first 25 years of my life watching the Packers.
Yeah, the Lions, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're famous for finding weird ways to lose games.
Speaking of the Lions, the Vikings game, I think the Vikings had 11 sacks on Stafford, if I remember right. But my goodness, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it was a franchise record, I think. I think it was 10 sacks for the franchise record. I saw that. I didn't see any of the game, but, you know, that's crazy. What are you doing, Mike?
I know I'm trying to help you out here, but I think I'm making it worse.
Helping me out. You're fiddling around with controls.
What are your final thoughts?
We need a get-right game. We've been saying since week 3, we need a get-right game, and it hasn't happened.
Are the Dolphins going to be it?
I think they could be. Even Adams, I think it was not this week but last week, he said with the talent on this team, all they need is one big game to, like, turn things around. Maybe this is that game. You know, hopefully, I think it helps that we're in Lambeau. The Dolphins have had kind of a similar season to us, actually, where they look good at points and mm-hmm. like they can really move the ball and are exceeding expectations, and then at other points they looked horrible.
Yeah.
I think they're 4-1 at home this season, 1-3 when playing away. So I think that, you know, that will help us to have that advantage there, that they haven't been a great away team this mm-hmm. season. And also, the points against the Dolphins are much higher than the points they've scored this year. So that record might be a little inflated, even at 5-4.
Well, all we can do is hope, and then it really is coming down to a must win. It really is. We've got to take advantage of playing the Dolphins and win this game.
I'd say the way we've seen the season go so far, if we lose one more game, so we're ending at 10-5-1, we make the playoffs, whether that be winning the North or a wild card. I think if we lose two games and go, what would that be, 9-6-1,
mm-hmm.
it's 50-50 shot if we make the playoffs. I think it's a coin toss at that point.
I would agree with you.
So,
okay.
One more safe loss left in us. Let's not use it this week.
Take a look at the standings, the NFC North. The Lions are at the bottom. The only reason why we're not is because we have a tie.
So what are the standings? Give them the
Lions
standings.
Lions are 3-5. Packers 3-4-1. Vikings are in second at 5-3-1. And Bears at the top at 5-3.
So it's wide open still.
Yep.
Is part of it too. It's not like we're looking at a 3-4-1 Packers team who has found ways to lose games they should win, and you're, you know, staring up at the Bears or the Lions with get your hand out of here, Mike, with a 7-1 record. You know, it's not like we're trying to bridge some huge gap. It's been a lot of mediocrity mm-hmm. in the North this year. When going in, people thought we were going to be one of the top two divisions in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you going to win a division game in the North? Well, it turns out just hang around.
And that happens every year, though. They always make the prognostications, and they're usually wrong. So
I was just thinking about that today when I was doing the script, actually. because I was looking over last week's script a little bit, and you know, you sit down and you think, okay, you know, here's the storyline for the game. Here's what happened. Here's what we need to look towards. And the problem is you feel so confident, and we record the show, you feel good about it, and then you go into next week and it turns out you didn't know anything.
That's the truth.
But that's just the NFL. It's week-to-week storylines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not baseball where, you know, you won 50 out of your 70 games so far, so they know you're a pretty dang good team.
Right.
Anything
right.
can happen in a game-to-game situation like the NFL. So it's weird because you can be over halfway through a season and not really know what a team is.
That's true.
Which is what we're seeing with the Packers. I don't think anyone knows how good this team is. I don't know if they know how good they are. I think they know what talent they have, but I don't know. There's something missing.
I know. That's what I feel, too.
Do you think this is what the Vikings felt like all those years? They kept trying to find their missing piece to plug in, and everything would be right. The ship would get righted.
Well, you know? I think for a lot of years, it was their quarterback.
Yeah.
They just had a rotation of quarterbacks coming in there, and they never really could do it for them. You know, they would get to almost to the motherland, but something would happen. And so I don't know. Well, let me just let you know that Bleeding Green and Gold is brought to you by Voice Guy Next Door. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com is where you can find how to connect with me. I can help you out with anything, whether it's podcast-related, training videos, radio, TV, commercials, in-store announcements, on-hold messaging. VoiceGuyNextDoor.com. All right, you ready for the game ball?
I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah! And the game ball goes to
Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Second 100-plus yard receiving game as a pro. First one came against the Niners.
All right. Congratulations, MVS.
You know, just think about that. You've worked your whole life. Pee-wee football.
Mm-hmm.
Middle school football.
Yeah.
High school football.
Oh, yeah.
College, and then
yeah.
you finally get drafted. You
mm-hmm.
finally make the NFL. And then you hit your peak. You get the Bleeding Green and Gold game ball.
The heavens open up, and you just call up the team and say, I'm done.
Nowhere down but here, Marquez.
All right, the picks. Let's see, who's up?
Well, you were up by two. Now you are only up by one.
That's right.
I can see you quaking in your loafers over there. I picked the Patriots over the Packers. It tastes bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely ashes in my mouth, but it did bring me within one of you on the season.
One of me.
So
you don't want more than one of me.
We have two matchups in this next week. The Vikings have a bye.
Mm-hmm.
We have Lions at Bears.
You have to go with the Bears.
I'll go with the Lions.
You will?
I will.
All right. Sean picks the Lions.
Sean picks the Lions. And then we have Dolphins at Packers, and Sean picks the Packers. Mike picks the Dolphins. We'll see you next week, folks. Go Pack. Go.
No.
No?
No, no, go.
You're not taking
the Dolphins? No, Packers are going to get back on track at home.
Is this the get-right game? Is this it?
Sure hope so. We don't have any more.
Who do we have next?
After the Dolphins? I don't remember. I don't know if we have the... My sheet is upstairs.
It's not working. Oh, it's a Mac. See, this is why you don't use a Mac.
John, what are you trying to do? Find the...
I just want a new tab. All I wanted
right here.
This whole time was a new tab. Well, click on it, man. I got to be able to type. You're just dilly-dallying.
You know, those times when your son
this
was
is a good
nice
podcast.
And kind
this...
to you, and he would never talk mean to you? Yeah, I used to remember those, too.
It's an audio medium, Mike. They can't see you crying. It doesn't.
So,
it's
Dolphins, and then we play...
At Seahawks.
And then we play...
At Vikings.
And then we play...
Cardinals.
At home. Falcons at home.
We played the Falcons, but they looked good this last week.
Yeah, they did.
They had their get-right game.
Packers will be at the Bears on the 16th of December. at the Jets just before Christmas, and then we wrap up the season with the Lions at home.
So there's no easy games in the NFL, but definitely looking at that, our toughest games will be in Seattle on a short week. That's a Thursday night game, and then at Minnesota.
Yep, definitely.
We cannot lose both of those.
We really can't lose anymore.
We can't. We have one loss we can really get and have a good chance of making the playoffs. The frustrating thing is when we had the Vikings at home, we had that weird call.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that's necessarily what changed it because we had mistakes of our own. They missed a field goal they should have made, everything like that. But if that hadn't been a tie and we had gotten that win, it would look a lot differently going into Minnesota here.
Sure, sure. It's whoever wins that game has a good chance if they can string some wins together to win the division. And you know, I keep thinking the Bears are gonna, you know, become the Bears again. So we still got a half of the season left to watch them fall, because I really do enjoy when a team that you hate, like the Bears, gets. I mean, the fans are like, "This is our year! Look like, at how good we are!"
The Vikes the other year.
Boom.
Was that two seasons ago? The Vikings went 5-0, and then blink of an eye, they're 5-5.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, maybe that's what we'll see with the Bears. We have 8 games left to right the ship in Packer land. We have the talent to do it. I think we have a lot of the pieces to do it. Can McCarthy do it?
Find out next week. I'm green and gold. Until then,
go, Pack, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, Pack, go.